Any theology that minimizes God's holiness and tolerates people's deliberate sinfulness is a false theology. Let me say it again. Any theology that minimizes God's holiness and tolerates people's deliberate sinfulness is a false theology. This is a quote coming to you from Warren Wiersbe. Now, in this broadcast, we are going to look at two passages of Scripture, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. The Old Testament passage will be Jeremiah 7, 9 through 11. The New Testament passage of Scripture will be Philippians 3, 18 to 19, starting with Jeremiah 7, 9. This is what it says. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods, whom you know not? Now this is a word to the people of God, from the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. God is speaking to his people, and this is what he's saying. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? God was speaking to his people. Do you get that? His people. Yet he's saying, addressing them as thieves, cruel oppressors, murderers, adulterers, and they were all going into the temple to worship him. He's saying, addressing them as those that are guilty of the vilest immoralities. But not just that, they are also guilty of the vilest idolatries. As he said, you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and you burn incense unto Baal. Baal was the dunghill deity. But that wasn't all. They didn't stop at Baal. And then you walk after other gods whom you know not. They exchanged the true and living God, of whose power and goodness they had such a long experience with. They exchanged him for gods of whose ability and willingness to help them they knew nothing of it. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? Then in verse 10, Jeremiah 7:10, he continued on, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. God is speaking to his people, and he said, you do all these sins, and yet, or then, you come. After they had been guilty of such immoralities and idolatry, they came before him in his house. And this is what they were thinking. They were thinking that by their appearance there and their performance of a few ceremonies and the offering of some sacrifices, that all their sins would be atoned for. This is what they were doing. They were coming into the house of God, standing before him as if they had never departed from him, as if they were his people, and as if they were his true worshipers. And he said, and you come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, in the temple, in my house, my sanctuary, where my name is called upon, where prayer is made to me. It's a house of prayer. You come and stand before me in this house, and then you say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. We are delivered. What did they mean by that? They were saying that we are delivered from punishment for our sins by coming into the temple, standing before you, Lord, calling on your name, offering sacrifices, though it is with an impure heart and impure hands, and it's done in a hypocritical manner. Yet we are delivered and we're freed from punishment, that we may do these things with impunity. And in spite of the prophet's threats, they said to themselves, we don't have anything to fear. We've offered our sacrifices, and therefore Jehovah will be sure to deliver us. And Jeremiah was accusing them of trusting in the ceremonial of the temple instead of leading holy lives. Once again, Jeremiah 7:10, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Listen to what Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said. Is it with this design that you come and stand before me in this house, in order that having offered your worthless sacrifices, you may be taken into my favor, and so do all these abominations with impunity? In a sense, this is what God was saying. You present yourselves before me with your sacrifices and sin offerings, and then you say, oh, we're delivered. We're discharged from our guilt. Now it shall do us no hurt. Our sins won't hurt us. We will not be punished for them. Or you come and you break the Ten Commandments, then you go to the temple. And when the service is over, you say, we're delivered. We have atoned for our past actions. And now we can start afresh with easy minds. But notice, there's no talk of sin, no acknowledgement of sin, no repentance from it. Yet they said, we're delivered to do all these abominations. You come and you stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Then in Jeremiah 7:11, God continued on and said, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. God said, is this house, my temple, the holy place, has it become a den of robbers in your eyes? Well, what did he mean when he said a den of robbers? Well, a den of robbers is the place where thieves go to hide after they've committed their crimes. Now think about what God's saying here. The den of robbers was the place where the thieves go to hide after they've committed their crimes. So he's saying, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. This is what God was saying in a sense. Do you look upon my house and make use of it as thieves do of dens, who when they have robbed and murdered men, they betake themselves to the den to hide themselves? You are thieves, murderers, adulterers, perjurers, idolaters, and after committing such gross enormities, you come into the temple, you offer sacrifices, thinking to cover your sins, to expiate the guilt of them, and to be looked upon by others, so others would see you, and to be looked upon as good men and true worshipers of God. Look at those people. They're true worshipers of God. And God said, when you're no better than thieves and robbers. Listen to what Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown have to say on this. Do you regard my temple as being what robbers make their den, namely an asylum wherein you may obtain impunity for your abominations? Then Matthew Henry said this, do you think it, meaning the temple, was built to be not only a rendezvous of, but a refuge and shelter to the vilest of malefactors? Those that think to excuse themselves in unchristian practices with the Christian name and sin the more boldly and securely because there is a sin offering provided. In effect, make God's house of prayer a den of thieves. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. God said, I have seen it. I have seen the real iniquity through the counterfeit and dissembled piety. And what's implied there is not only I have seen it, but I will punish it. Listen to what Matthew Henry said. Though men may deceive one another with the appearances of devotion, yet they cannot deceive God. A den of robbers is the place where thieves go to hide after they've committed their crimes. And Jeremiah was declaring that the Jews were using the temple ceremonies to cover up their secret sins. Instead of being made holy in the temple, the people were making the temple unholy. Now you think about what's going on here. God speaking to his people. They have been committing gross sins, coming into the temple, thinking that they could hide their secret sins, that they could receive impunity, no punishment from our sins. Let me ask you today, that was a word for them in the temple for in Jeremiah's day. Do you think that something like this is going on in the church of today? Well, let me just ask you, look upon the mega churches. Some of these churches have 30,000 people seated in the church. 30,000 people coming in. There's no talk or no preaching from the pulpit on repentance, on sin, on the fear of God, on the wrath of God, on the judgment of God. None of that. So we have to assume and come to a conclusion that all those 30,000 are not all on fire Christians for God. No, sir. That there are many people that are coming, and they're coming and making the house of God a den of robbers. They're using the church to look good to others and say, look at me, I go to church every Sunday, look, I raise my hand, I applaud, I even shout sometimes. But God says, I have seen it. I have seen through your hypocritical ways. Okay, now we want to go over to the New Testament. We'll see Paul dealt with this as well. In Philippians 3:18, he said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul speaking to Christians in Philippians here, and he said, for many walk, many walk. And he said, I'm telling you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Well, how do we determine when someone who professes to be a Christian is an enemy of the cross of Christ? Well, in my studies, I came across some of these indications. The first one, a person is considered to be an enemy of the cross of Christ when they live in indulgence, the indulgence of any known sin. They practice sin. They're living in the indulgence of a known sin. And by doing that, they are disregarding God's authority and despising the work of Christ on the cross. Another indication is when this person has a deeper interest in worldly affairs than in the cause of Christ. When that's present, they are an enemy of the cross of Christ. And another indication of this would be when they employ all their time in doing their own will. The Bible says we are bought with a price, we're not our own. We are to do the will of the Father, the will of Jesus. But when you spend all your time doing your own will, you are an enemy of the cross of Christ. And lastly, when this person doesn't or won't, refuses to abandon worldly amusements, which are obviously inconsistent with the Word of God. That person is an enemy of the cross of Christ. When they refuse to take up the cross, won't deny themselves or serve their own lusts. But we go on to verse 19, Philippians 3:19, and here Paul, he delineates his, he gives his list of what an enemy of the cross of Christ looks like or consists of. Okay, he said, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now these are the supposed to be the people of God, but yet he's saying, many walk as the enemies of the cross of Christ because of these things, whose end is destruction. Now let me tell you, if your end is destruction, you are not right with God. You're not saved. Your end is perdition, everlasting destruction, eternal death. Your way may seem pleasant to man, but death and hell are at the end of it. Your end is destruction if you are an enemy of the cross of Christ. Then Paul went on to say, whose God is their belly? Basically, these people are the ones who worship their own appetites. They don't live to adore and honor God. They live basically for self, for self-indulgence and sensual gratification. They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they are all caught up with their sensual appetites. Their aim of life is to gratify the flesh. The indulgence of their appetites, that's basically what it is when your God is your belly. And then whose glory is in their shame. These people glory in the things of which they ought to be ashamed. They laugh at sin. They watch entertainment, the worldly entertainment that makes a mock of sin. They joke about sin. These are the ones that whose glory is in their shame. And also, they commit evil practices in secret. There's a lot of dishonesty. They walk craftily, deceitful handling of the word of God. And then lastly, Paul said that those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, they mind earthly things. And what he meant by that was their hearts are set on earthly things, or they live to obtain earthly things, that their whole study and attention is taken up with earthly matters, that they entertain earthly opinions, and their attention is directed toward worldly things like honor, pleasures, power, a place in society, glory, popular applause, wealth, riches. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things, but when you make that your aim in life, then it's wrong for a Christian to do that. When you seek after these things and you amass to yourself great sums of money, that's your whole ambition in life. I want to be rich. Or you're living for this present world to the neglect of the other world, the heavenly world. Or you're absorbed in the concerns of the present world to the exclusion of the other. Then you are an enemy of the cross of Christ. Now in Jeremiah 7:9-11, God had a word for the people at that time, and he has a word for the church today. He said to them, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. And God would add from Philippians that there are many that are the enemies of the cross of Christ, walking in this way, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. They mind earthly things. What God is saying, will you continue to commit such abominations and pretend to worship me? Pretenders. And then you defile the place called by my name. You make my house a den of robbers. But God said, I've seen this. I've seen the hypocrisy. And can you expect to escape punishment? And God said, you will not escape. You will not escape. Now, I ask you, who is God speaking to today? Perhaps there's some that you have been living in sin, yet you think by going to church and you participate, and believe me, there's nothing wrong with going to a service, to a church service, where you can worship God, hear the word, and get right with God, and hear the word of God, let the word just pierce your heart. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you go, and your motive is that I'm going to go there, and everyone's going to see me worshiping and going through the motions, and they're going to think, wow, that person is right with God. When you know you are not right with God, and not only do you know it, but God knows it. And God said, I have seen it. And what he's saying is, and I will punish it. But he's coming in his mercy with this word today, telling you sin must be punished. Sin that is not forgiven, not washed in the blood of Jesus, not covered in the blood of Jesus, will be punished. You cannot play with God. You cannot make his house a den of robbers. That you're going to go to some church and you're going to hide out there. It's not going to work out. God said, I've seen it and I will punish it unless you repent. This is Connie Giordano coming to you live on Spreaker Radio. Let's pray. Father, you said your word will not return void, but it will accomplish that for which it is sent. I'm asking you now that you would use the word to discern the thoughts and intents of the hearts of those under the sound of my voice, that you would show people where they stand with you, and if need be, if they need to repent, that your grace would be there, that they would repent, get right with you, make things right with their Maker, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, for what you will do in answer to this prayer and this message, in Jesus' name. Amen. Until next time, be blessed of the Lord Jesus. Amen.